Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and joining me is a guy that is here to me trying to figure out why Chattanooga is a house of horrors for us, is Mr. Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Hey, look, it's preseason time right now. You know, we got, you know, the college season getting ready to go, sporting for my boys, you know, right here.
Oh, yeah, hyped. The Big Ten East to West Conference.
Now we're single table in soccer.
Oh, man. Oh.
Everybody loves preseason. Preseason is when there's hope.
Yeah. We had a lot of that at the start of this year. We had hope. We had optimism.
We had a lot of that at the midway point.
Yeah, we did. And now we don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know what it was. 3-2 against Chattanooga. And we were all saying before last week that if Richmond wanted to keep their playoff chance, I mean, obviously they're still in the playoff race. They're not eliminated or anything like that. But if they wanted to make those chances stronger, you got to beat Chattanooga. It was significant to beat Chattanooga in Chattanooga because, one, this team has not done it at all. Since USL League One, going into this game, they were 0-1-4 against Chattanooga in Chattanooga. This is a team that has historically been the thorn in our side. 2021 kind of ended our title reign of getting to the playoffs in. 2022, we all know what happened with Rafa and whatnot. And going into this year, we thought we had a good chance. We thought, you know, 2 wins against Chattanooga, both clean sheets. Thought there was a chance for us to get the sweep, get some positive momentum, definitely up for coming up for last week. And all of that just went.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
I think realistically, you know, a few weeks ago, everybody started to realize that, all right, this is going to be an uphill battle to begin with. But the thought was, all right, we got 2 against Fuego. We got, at that time, 2 against Lexington. We got Chattanooga out there. They've been those 3 teams have been mostly donating points to the rest of the league, you know, all year.
Yeah.
Got to clean up on those and then hope you can, you know, take a few others somewhere along the way. And both, you know, they were in a great position, you know, to be able to lock it down against Lexington. Didn't get it done. In a great position to be able to lock it down against Chattanooga here. Did even worse with that one. I think most people are hitting the acceptance stage at this point that, come October 14th, that's going to be the last time we see this version of this team.
Yeah, it does. It does kind of feel that way. It kind of feels as if, like, all right. Like, it kind of just felt like our playoff chances kind of just went out the window with that that shot that went in at the, 78th minute or something like that. I don't know, man. I don't know. It just kind of feels as if we're at that infliction point of, is it kind of just like our setups? I mean, obviously, the team is going to try to compete in every game going forward. But as us as fans, and we're kind of at that point, like, all right, let's see what else we got on the roster. Like, see where O'Dwyer got. See what this young boy Landon Johnson got. See what Sarakowski can do in the Zaka role, whatever, you know, or see what Punk was
doing. I have no interest in Sarakowski in the Zaka role. That would be a horrible idea.
I mean, you know, just trying something different. I mean, Darren has literally tried everything, and nothing seems to be working.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I think, you know, they're going to fight until it's mathematically done.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, you know, this coming week we're going to, you know, see, you know, an Academy Plus lineup or anything. But I think, you know, as we get to the last, you know, few games of the season, yeah, you're probably going to see more of the young guys, you know, get run outs. I think we're being honest with ourselves. We're already starting to see, you know, some of the exiling, you know, happen on, you know, this roster. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, a few more guys, you know, just become training players.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk about the game. Obviously, we got to. And then we'll talk about what we expect to see going forward with, what, 9 games left in the season, I believe?
9 games left.
Yep. So let's go ahead and start. First half, it seemed like a very even half. The stats indicated it was pretty much 50-50 possession. But Richmond got on the board early. Huh?
I think you're missing the big story of the first half is that we didn't see half of it.
Oh, yeah. We didn't. Also, we saw good build-up play from Emmy and Bentley. Bentley looked – this is probably Bentley's best game.
This year.
Yeah, this year, obviously.
Yeah.
This seemed to be his best game. He looked lively out there. I noticed Chattanooga. I was trying to figure out what position Riley Kraft was playing because when he played against us in Richmond, the second game that we won, he was playing like a fullback, but in this game, he seemed to be pushed further up. What it seemed to be from Chattanooga is like they were like, all right, we're just going to go 5 in the back and hope for the best. But it seemed like Bentley was able to get in between that half space between where Kraft was and the other center back and kind of get him behind and stretch the field a little bit, something that this team been drastically missing. It's just someone just to push the ball forward, like just go forward, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a few different opportunities, you know, come together on that right side. You know, Bentley had, you know, one where you cut in and tried to curl one with his left foot into the, you know, near corner. He missed. That's not the point. You know, that's something that I don't think we were even seeing him try. I guess a few weeks ago is not the right terminology because he was on the bench for a while. But earlier in the year, you know, when he was, I think safely to say, in his rut, you know, it was all just, you know, try to power, you know, seemingly power through and, all right, well, let me just get the cross off to Emmy. And, you know, it turns out flipping the roles worked.
Yeah, it does seem to work. Emmy, what, gets his first assist of the year and Bentley gets his first goal of the year. It felt good. Like, it felt the momentum was good, but it also was that thing of, like, I'm not going to lie, like, the same thing I talked about last week's show was, like that 5-minute clock was going off in my head. Like, all right, can this team defend for 5 minutes before giving up a chance?
Didn't have to. Halftime, you know, saved them.
It did. Halftime saved us. And I felt like, you know, going into half, I think if you would have asked any Kickers fans of like, all right, what do you want to see in the second half? Is one, be consistent. Two, don't create opportunities for the other team. And then C, get a goal. Like, get a goal so you can feel comfortable. With, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Before, you know, hopping to all that, you know, I want to, you know, be able to, you know, shout the guys out because there's not going to be a lot of that later on. Yeah. You know, that goal, this team has developed something good on that right side, you know, where they can be able to, you know, develop that kind of a chance seemingly almost once a game now. So a few different, you know, players this time around instead of, you know, this time it started with Simon on the ball. You know, kind of, you know, feeding that ball into the channel, and instead of it being normally Simon, but we've seen, you know, Meacham on that ball. We've seen, you know, a couple other guys on that ball. You're, you know, making that run. It's Emmy, you know, drifting out, and then, you know, he's the one making, you know, the, you know, slightly, you know, diagonal, you know, pass backwards, and Bentley was the one on the end of it. We've seen Emmy on the end of that. We've seen Zhao on the end of that. We've seen different combinations. This time is a different group of guys, but that seems to, other than, you know, long throw or corner kicks, from the actual, like, you know, open run of play, that seems to be the bread and butter of what's working this year.
Yeah. It's also funny because when Simon made that pass to help set up the goal, all I heard was Kate in my head of like, this is what Simon excels at, like that ball on the ground. I was like, there it is right there. Like, I mean, you're right. Like, the right side of this attack has been really good. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, not much was coming from the left. There were still moments where play kind of stagnated a little bit, where I felt like we could have pushed the ball forward, but instead they kind of opted to kind of lay it off or the safer pass. We did a good job of stagnating Chattanooga to the point where they didn't even have a shot on goal. Like, Akira was pretty much clean. Wasn't too much danger or anything in front of his goal or anything. And we were going. We were, you know, possessing the ball and balling it.
Absolutely.
Periods. We were slowing the game down when we needed to, getting our attackers in dangerous spots. You know, we created a good goal. It felt good. And if you're daring, you know, you're daring Meekum and Connor, that's what you want to see, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, and I think we've said this a number of times. This team has solid 45 minutes in them. You know, this is another example of that. You know, we've seen that, you know, in North Carolina. We've seen that in, unfortunately, at home a few times where they can ball out for, you know, 45 minutes and you play with anybody in this league. It's putting those two 45s together that, you know, has been the absolute Achilles heel.
Yeah. And I can't put my finger on it as to why. Like, I've seen people say that it's Darren's fault of why this team has fallen down. I've seen people say it's the player's fault. I don't know where to put my finger at exactly of what the mentality shift is in this team versus last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know, some of the heat goes to everyone involved. Like, I don't think it's just a one, you know, person or one small group you know, situation. Like, you know, you do well together, you fail together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's baffling. Like, I'm not smart enough to know, you know, some of these answers, but it's like, is what we're doing rolling out, like, surprising people, but then it's just so simple that at halftime, every other coach can, you know, make these adjustments and, you know, just cut us up in the second half. I don't think that's it, you know, but it keeps happening. Is like, our guys just, you know, only 60 minutes, you know, fit, and, you know, that includes like mentally fit. I don't know.
Like, it just, because last year the team was able to snuff out games, right? Like, they were able to pretty much, like, if it was 2-0, we felt good. Even sometimes it was 1-0. You know, I remember there was a point last year where we played, I think, Tormenta at home, and Tormenta scored early. And I looked at Shiner and I looked at you and I was like, oh, we're getting back in this game. You know?
Yeah, we're worried about it.
Yeah, we're not worried about it. Now I'm up 2-0. I'm like, whew. Like,
yeah, it's like, all right, how much time we got left? Can we move this time going a little faster?
Right. And I'm pretty sure the players feel that same pressure as well, because they're kind of looking at themselves of like, yo, we can't create errors for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't put ourselves in a situation in which a chance is going to happen. That happened in this game. You know, I think one of the biggest things that we've talked about, especially with this team, is like a massive amount of individual mistakes that have led to goals. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It reared its ugly head in the second half. I mean, before that, Ryan Sierkowski got his lovely forehead on a header goal, up 2-0, right around the 48th minute. And even then, like, I felt good. Like, I felt like, okay, this team is up 2-0. Darren's going to revert back to shutting up shop. Like, I thought he was going to go back to 2021 Richmond, where we're going to put 10 behind the ball or 9 behind the ball and just go from there. But it never really felt like that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, other than, I think you're probably braver than a lot of people listening to this to think, all right, I'm feeling good at 2-0.
Well, I mean, I think naturally any fan would. I mean, especially given how Chattanooga's been. Like, Chattanooga's just coming off of a devastating, 90th minute goal at Fort Madison. A game they, you know, this team's been in a bad run of form. We've beaten them twice already, you know, like, there's no game to me so far that stands out as a good game for Richmond this year, like in years past. But
I think it's fair to say Tormenta away right after the DC game, where, you know, beat them pretty 3-1 pretty handily.
True, very true. But overall, we haven't looked our best against any side outside of Chattanooga. Like, you know, 2 clean sheets against them already. possibly going for a third. And then, I mean, I was just praising Matt Bentley, but he gives up the ball in a poor spot. You know, he gets caught on the ball, gets it stuck under the feet, leads to Minta having a shot from outside the box. And as much as I love Akira, he looks slow getting down to his box. I don't know if he saw it late or whatnot. He reacted late to it, but I feel as if Akira from last year saves that.
Possible. I mean, oh, fair credit, Minta. Good hit, good shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
You know, it's not, you know, it's not like it was one where you look at him like, oh, Akira. Like, it's one where you think like, all right, maybe he could have gotten it, but I don't put that on Akira.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's one of those shots where he's stuck. Like, you ever seen that a ball that's hit so well, it just gets stuck in the net? Like, it was one of those shots. But still, like, we had multiple players around the ball to kind of snuff it out. Like, last year, I feel like a tactical foul would have happened there. You know, that foul on top of the box that we were complaining about at the start of the year. Yeah. Like, that's the time you use that foul there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the irony of our own complaints coming back at us right now. But
right. The irony of it all, man. It's like, I don't know. You can see, like, a lot of players kind of backed off in that moment. Shot right. Happens. It's 2-1 then. And, I mean, if you – I mean, we all know how Chattanooga is, like, especially there in Chattanooga. And this team, I think the part that's frustrating to me is this team knows this. Like, they know how Chattanooga is in Chattanooga. They know, like, if any sort of momentum happens at Chattanooga, they're going to just throw reckless abandon at the win. They're just going to go for it.
Yeah, it's not like it's a lot of these guys' first rodeo down there. Most of them, you know, were with the team previous years or they were with other teams in the league previous years and, you know, familiar with the general play style. I mean, it's a much worse version of Chattanooga this year than the previous, you know, teams, but, you know, the overall kind of mindset doesn't seem to be terribly different. They're just not as good at it.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and I don't want to question the mentality of the team. I don't, because I know they're fighting and I know they're in a rough form. Like, the commentator made it known it's been 42 days since Richmond's last win or a clean sheet, you know, we know that. And it seemed like, you know, in moments like this, when things are going right, when you're winning games, you're able to overcome a moment like this. You're able to override something. Like, it's like, all right, let's clean it up. Let's get back on the ball, slow this game down. Don't let Chattanooga get momentum. But instead, it's kind of like we went in the opposite. It was like, you know, right after they scored, we created a chance where it's kind of like that twilight moment where if Bentley scores it, we're 3-1 up. Maybe we ride this game out differently, but Bentley misses it from the cross from Sarakowski. And it seemed like Chattanooga was like, all right, we're just going to go, 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 go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just like a snuff film of all the past, you know, games at Chattanooga melded into one.
Yeah.
After that point, I think the only thing missing was them getting a red card and us giving up a, you know, goal against 10 men. But other than that, the greatest hits of how do things go wrong for Richmond and Chattanooga.
I mean, this is the area where we have never won at, you know. Like,
it goes beyond that, though. Like, you know, last year down there, we have our best team, you know, in this era. They up 2-0, also, oddly, you know, 42nd or 43rd minute goal, and then like a 50th minute goal, so almost exact same timing on when we scored. And, you know, even that team couldn't hold. They lost, you know, 2-0. And one of the goal, you know, the second goal that Chattanooga scored today was almost a mirror image of one of their goals from last year.
Yeah.
You know, team loves, you know, giving up goals on scrums in the boxes in Chattanooga. Literally every game we played in Chattanooga, every Chattanooga goal has, you know, come from that, you know, that corner of the field, you know, that's closed in with, you know, the fans there. Every single one has started from that corner.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. You know, Chattanooga is just – it's a horrible place to play because it's so tight. It's so tight there. And I don't get it. Like, I think this is the only place in USL League One Richmond has not won it. I will have to go back and look.
You might be right. Yeah,
I think this might be. I mean, outside of Lansing, but you know, we only played them one season. I think this might be the only place we have never won at.
I guess technically Lexington, and we haven't been to Knoxville yet, but
yeah. But just I don't. And I mean, you got experience on the field. You got Zaki, you got Emmy, you got Dakota, Ani, Akira, Neil, Bentley, guys that have been on this team, played multiple games this year, that knows, like, they know the overall importance of, like, yo, we got to slow this game down. Like, that's all Chattanooga's trying to do. Chattanooga's not trying to build up. They're not trying to, you know, ticky-tocky through the field or anything like that. They're literally just like, yo, we're going to cut through you the middle of this midfield. And that kind of leads me to saying, like, I think all the problems with the team kind of stem from the midfield. You know? Like, at the beginning of the year, we were praising the defense right now because they were so strong and whatnot. But we always kind of backed them and said, like, it's only going to hold water for so long. Like, this defense is not going to solve everything, right? And we're seeing that now where – the defense now is kind of more so ISO defending more than what they did before in the past. And I don't know, man. It just seemed like the recurrent issue of the midfield where the first goal and the third goal, the second goal, I'll give them. Like, it's a scrum. It happens.
Happens a lot, though.
It does. You're right. It does. It does happen a lot. But it's one of those goals where you're just like, all right, cool. You chalk that up to the game. It is what it is. The first and third goal, literally, the midfield is non-existent. And I know how much we all love Zaka and whatnot, but like these are the moments where you kind of want Zaka to be there just to cut it out. You know,
I mean, the first one I can forgive a little bit more because like there's not a reason we should have had big numbers right around the ball there because it's Bentley, you know, coming backwards, you know, with the ball. And I think trying to get it to Simon and it just goes, he gets tapped and it goes wrong on that. Yeah. So, it sucks. That might happen every, you know, once in a blue, especially at this level, you know, every now and then. And then, you know, guy takes what, two touches, hits a great shot. All right. Unfortunate, but at least positionally, I can understand it. The third one, you know, don't know where Gordon was, you know, trying to run to with that ball, you know, in the first place.
He's so sloppy on the ball.
He's all or nothing, right? Like,
there was a lot of times he got on the ball in this game, and it was like he would trip over his feet or he would fall, and I'm just like.
Yeah, Wednesday he was great.
Yeah.
Right, which, I mean, kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of why you know, maybe not at the top of Darren's list, you know, because you don't know what you're going to get, and I think most coaches are risk-averse in, like, the known quantities, if they can help it. But, you know, he's trying to dribble out, you know, of trouble and, you know, just gets absolutely stuffed. And then the ball bounces out, and somehow Chattanooga's got like a 4-on-1, you know, in our own half, you know, right around there. I assume it was probably Simon was the only guy anywhere near the ball at that point. That's what my question is. I was like, all right, we were already coming out, you know, the defense right there, you know, Owain was trying to do something to, you know, get the ball out of there. Didn't work. But how does it end up being a 4v1? You know, and it's not like there's 4v1 at midfield. There's 4v1, you know, I don't know what the zones are or any of that nonsense. Yeah. But,
I mean, you know, it's roughly the same spot where we gave up the first goal.
Ultimately, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the one I'm a lot more willing to have a conversation about. Where was anyone?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's kind of just like Gordon got tripped up there, lost the ball. And next thing you know, you can see, like, he's setting up to shoot the ball. And our players are just standing there like, who's going to close him down, you know?
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I mean, once that went in, I know we scored in the 95th minute on Wednesday. I didn't have any faith that these guys were going to be able to turn it back on and get that goal.
This team has only scored 13 goals from open play this year. Like, the chances of us – Ollie, I didn't know this either. We also complained about the set pieces, but I think we lead the league in set pieces. Well, that's what we're saying.
Not we. Y'all complained about them.
Oh, well, correction. I complained about the set pieces and found out that we lead the league in set pieces. Who would have ever thunk it? Once again, the things we complain about come back to bite us in the ass.
That's the one thing that this team's been doing well, whether it's Ani launching his long throws, which when they work are amazing, maddening every other time. But corners and kind of picking up the second ball on corners have been going pretty well a lot of the time. And then obviously Neil decided to just rocket one in a few weeks ago.
I bring this up again because I'm genuinely thinking about it. Like, we're talking about in terms of what needed to change for the team with 9 games left to go. And it's kind of just like, if you're doing so well on set pieces, and I know Darren's talked about trying to make the soccer a little bit prettier and having a lot more of the ball, which is great, fine, whatever. But at the end of the day, you want to get the result. And I'm wondering if, is it time for Richmond just to dirty things up? Just to be like, all right. I think I said this earlier, but Zaka isn't at the level of which he was at last year. He can't cover all that space by himself anymore. Do you think it's time just for this team to be like, all right, we're going to go hella defensive and just go from there?
At this point, no, because while there's still a little bit of a glimmer of hope, got to go all out for it. And I don't think locking it down is going to be the most effective way to do that. It seems counterintuitive, but the team, we need goals. So you got to play with fire a little bit right now, because we saw the beginning part of the year, we couldn't score for crap. And if we were in a position where draws could be okay, yeah, I'd say go for it, but we're past those days now.
Yeah. It does seem that way. So Richmond goes on, loses game 3-2. That definitely puts us ninth in the table. We're 10 points away from the bottom of the table, or Fuego, but we are also 10 points away from second place, which makes little to no sense in this league. So the games Richmond got coming up next, if you look at it as this, is you got NCFC at home on Saturday. You go on the road against Lexington on the 26th. And then a short turnaround, we play Fuego. That's 2v2 now.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah. Yep. My computer decided to be in the spirit of ESPN and not work.
Ah.
Now.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the good old required updates that go off without you telling anything. So I feel like, much like ESPN was trying to tell us something and look out for us in the good way, maybe my laptop is doing the same thing and say, you don't want any of this.
No, not at all. I mean, we got 3 games left this month. We got NCFC at home, Fuego at home, and then Lexington in between, a sandwich in between that on the road. We've only got 1 point so far this month out of the 2 games we played. Do you think there's no way this team can go another month without a win?
Right? Yep, not.
That's the whole – oh, man. I mean, by the time we play on Saturday, it'll be 49 days. It doesn't have vibes of the 7-game losing streak we had under Bulo back in 2019, where – I don't even think we scored a goal or anything. It was bad. But
here's the bright way to look at this. We're due to get points somewhere at home this coming week, because we don't repeat results. So we're guaranteed to get a win or a draw against North Carolina now. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, that is how it works. We have gone loss, draw, loss, draw, loss, draw, loss. That's the immaculate thing about it. The team does not repeat results, but at some point, something got to give, man. Something has got to give with these guys, you know, getting points and having a positive game, you know. Something got to give. But, Matt, I mean, we've seen the discourse a lot in the Red Army chat on Twitter and whatnot after the game, after this result. But what needs to be done to this team to get them prepared and ready for next year, so we don't have a repeat of this next season?
I think realistically, you know, part of the rest of this season is going to be, you know, seeing who can bring what, you know, to the table, kind of like what you were talking about a little bit, you know, before. I mean, seeing which guys pack up shop and, you know, kind of, you know, turn it in for the rest of the year, and, you know, who's still out grinding for it. I think there's a little bit to that. I'll be honest, I don't remember off the top of my head who's under contract for next year, but I know it's probably 7 or 8 of them, or at least already. So how do you, you know, build around that core, you know, really start, you know, and I think Darren, you know, the team are already doing this, but start to identify, you know, what spots do we need new guys coming in? I don't think that's the hardest thing in the world to figure out, but, you know, for them, figuring out who they are, you know, are they other League One guys? Is it that, you know, they're going to start, you know, working the college networks, you know, now that the college season is, you know, going to go and trying to identify some seniors that are, you know, ready to go? Is it that, you know, they, you know, start using their, you know, international, you know, networks and find out, you know, hey, who might be looking to come back home to the States, you know, much like, you know, Stu or Payne or even, you know, Ethan did, you know, found their way here as kind of a career rehab, you know, sort of spot. You know, so, you know, looking for the profiles of guys that they, you know, really, you know, want, and, you know, being able to, you know, fill them in, because I know the message over this last offseason was, hey, we're really looking for guys who are bought into the culture and whatnot. And I get that. But I'm okay if, you know, we have mostly culture guys and, you know, a few guys who are, you know, here, you know, openly using Richmond as a pit stop and, you know, showing their skills while they're here.
Yeah, I think there's a good way how you can marry both of those two. I think, you know, hindsight's 2020. I think going back and looking at the offseason, Belmar, Succo, and Hornsby were the three new additions, right? Is there anyone else I'm forgetting in that?
Probably.
Anyone else? I think that's majority. Yeah, Sarakowski, you could kind of throw in there, but he's more of a midseason acquisition.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, none of those signings are young. Outside of Meacham, who I think is 21, maybe.
Yeah, he's straight out of college.
Yeah.
So 22, maybe 23.
Right. And he's young. You know, he can still be mowing and still be some. We've seen flashes of the good things he could do. You know, I think Hornsby's been a key addition. Sarakowski's, you showing what he's done. Really, when you look at it, like, I think the biggest thing is you need to go add some youth. Like, go add some young guys to the team in the attacking spots.
And not necessarily just academy youth either. Like, no shade meant towards, you know, our academy guys, you know, right now. But, you know, I think when I you know, hear youth is getting those, like, you know, 19, 20-year-olds where they want to play pro, they don't want to play, you know, college, and, you know, they're on the up.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, we saw it when we bought in Bolaños and Stan and those guys that were
– I mean, those were college guys, right?
Yeah, 20, 21 years old, wanted to play pro, but didn't get the opportunity. A break, came to Richmond. Granted, it took them a year or two, or like Bolaños kept a year and a half to get acclimated, and then went on from there. Same thing with Stu, same thing with Payne. You know, this team just needs to get younger. Right now, the overall age of this team is 28. Like, the attack is old. It's old, is probably the oldest part, with Owain being 31, Emmy being 30. Delmar, I believe, is 32.
He's early 30s somewhere around there. I don't know the exact.
Midfield is a little bit slightly older. Like, I'm not going to lie. For the longest, I thought Jao was 25. Sirikowski is 25. So you still got some upside there, but they're probably more or less at their peak.
Yeah, they're probably who they are.
Yeah, who they are at this point now. Xhaka might be coming out of his peak. He's having a slightly down year. You know, Neil is 27, I believe. And then the other thing, too, like, I mean, outside of adding youth in the attack, I would say probably go get a third starting center back. Like, that's what we saw the best out of this defense was there was three center backs that could start whenever for us, right? It wasn't like we had our first two and then there was a gap. The best version of Darren's defense we've seen when you had Jalen, Dakota, and Ani all competing for the spot. So even if one got out of form, you could throw the other one in there until the third guy got back in form, and then you just go again. You know, now we're kind of having to play Dakota and Ani. And even if they get out of bad form, we still got to play them because they're the best two center backs in the roster.
Yeah. Look, being realistic, part of it is the CBA being out there. You know, we got to pay, everybody, at a certain level now. Got away with in the past, having guys who wanted the chance were willing to play for peanuts. And I mean, that was working for the team and, good for the players. I've said this before, CBA is great for the players, not necessarily great for the fan side where, we just want to see the best players on the field we can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. The budget gets a little, you can't stretch it quite as far anymore. No. So,
and I mean,
what we really need is, Rob to get, make some new friends in the off season who really like soccer and have a lot of money.
Get some of those Davis and our VCU guys in here and have them donate something so we can get more players. But then also, you go back and look at the roster construction of this team, and it was a lot of youth coming in. Beckett Howe, obviously I did Landon Johnson, Octavio, Gabe. Is someone else I'm forgetting?
We had Eli, and then he went. Yeah, Eli went to college. Simmons, who hasn't been around yet because he's off with youth team stuff to do, but maybe we see him soon. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, we've only seen these guys as spot players. And when we thought Gabe was getting ready, we was like, all right, Gabe might be getting more minutes. We haven't seen him in a significant amount. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, all right, I mean, I trust these guys with the youth development and whatnot, but, what's going on with their minutes? Are we not seeing more of them? Are they being stunted? Who's to say, because Octavio signed last year, and I probably think he's played all of – I know he played in the friendly, but we haven't really seen him. Yeah, we haven't seen him since then, or even touched the 18. So
it's all right. And
yeah,
some of the academy signings are fine for that. They can be, good practice players, getting some experience. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That's my thing. I think the team, honestly, one is just become more vertical and get some speed in behind and just get younger for next year. Like, if you could get younger at spots, do that. Me personally, I know Belmar started out the season hot, and I don't know why he's not been in the team for a while, but I'm kind of cool, staying away from the 30-plus-year-old player signing. Is going to more what has worked for this team and getting those guys straight out of college or looking to come back to the States. Like you said, Matt, we have their careers. Kind of go and get those guys if you can.
Yeah. Kind of play more of the lottery tickets, than, who might hit it big or might be absolutely terrible rather than a lot of guys who might have a decent floor, but maybe not a big ceiling either.
Yeah.
Like you can get away with having to, picking up a couple of those in the off season because there is value in having that nice consistent guy that you can run out there for whatever. But yeah, you got to go play the Powerball every now and then.
Yeah,
especially
I would like to see us go play the Powerball in attack because there's more opportunities for you to chop and change and kind of play around with that.
Yeah, screw.
But in defense, go get the go get the solid thing. Like, I'm cool with, you know, when Darren brought in Kyle Vintner, or when he brought in Dakota, he went and go got himself a veteran attack, a veteran defender, and kind of solid up the defense, right? And his work is improved. Is there any spot on the field that you feel as if, like, you're definitely like, all right, this position we're good at? Like, for me, it's fullback. Like, I feel like we got good depth at fullback. I feel good about who we got there.
I don't think there's any position where, you know, we're good across the board. Like, you know, we're good on, you know, the starting center forward. If Emmy gets hurt, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, attacking mid, I think Neil's still, you know, good, solid, above average League One player there.
Yeah.
Don't love the options if he's not available. I mean, you go down goalkeeper. I'm okay with where we are with goalkeeper right now. Like, even if next year, maybe, you know, Will and Nakira flip, I can live with that combo as our goalkeepers.
So, I mean, that isn't. I was going to ask you about that later, but with 9 games left, do you think it's time to just see what Will got for a good stretch? I mean, we've seen him in points of this, but do you think it's time?
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm kind of in favor of playing Will. Give Will these last 9 or so games and see what he got. See if he can be the starter for next year.
I don't know how to go, like, all 9 or anything, but I'm fine with him getting, yeah, at least 3 or 4 of them.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, see what you got for next year. I mean, he's done well in the games that he's played in so far. Seeing what you got there. I mean, obviously, I believe Akira's contract is up at the end of this year anyway, so it doesn't hurt to see what you got there. And then if Will does well, well, then, hey, that's one last position you got to go spend money on. And I think, like, that's the biggest thing, like, for us. Like, we know this and we keep in mind of, like, when we're going out possibly talking about what players we want or the kind of profile players we want, like, every position on the field attracts some kind of dollars onto it. Mm-hmm. So if you can save money on going out here and getting a starting goalkeeper and seeing if Will can do that, then, hey, that's great. That's fine.
Yeah, especially if you can double up on Akira as coach / backup.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that works well for Akira. Like, give Akira what? If next year comes and Will starts, I'm cool with Akira getting 5 to 8 games.
Yeah.
Be the cup goalkeeper and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something happens, you know, to Will during the season, you fully trust Akira to be able to, you know, hop in just like, you know, Will did when Akira was on paternity leave.
Do you think Akira becomes the next Ronnie? Just randomly gets like 1 star and he's like 43.
I don't think he ever played after he officially retired, but he, you know, showed up on the bench, like, you know, in emergency situations for a few years. Other than that, I don't think you were solid, you know, with depth anywhere on the field right now. Like, there's guys who can play those positions, but I don't know if we're dead set solid.
Yeah. I mean, well, the reason why I said fullback is because Hornsby, Meekum, and Simon, like, those three as fullbacks. I'm like, all right, I'm good with that. I can, like, I don't have to go out and spend money on fullbacks next year. I think the thing this team needs to go out here, and when we say spend money, we're talking about, like, getting guys who can, you know, younger guys, college level, who are looking for opportunities, winger, and possibly a 6, or like a ball carrier center mid.
Well, I mean, I think probably a couple wingers, but.
Yeah, a couple wingers. You're right about that. A couple of wingers, a ball carrier 6. Would you throw center back in there, or?
Could use another one of those. Could use another, you know, kind of box-to-box midfielder. Yeah.
It depends on what – because for me, I see Jao being more so – I see Jao more closely related to Neil, and I see Zuko a little bit more closer related to Sokka. So in that case, like, do you go out here and get someone that kind of fills that Ethan Bryan role? Maybe someone that can just carry the ball forward?
Based on what we were talking about earlier, I don't see how, you know, we can say that midfield doesn't need to be addressed in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it does. I mean, like I was saying before, like we said at the start, like, most of the issues with this team, with the lack of creativity, the lack of goal scoring, the lack of assists, comes from the midfield. And I just think, like, there's no connecting piece in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that makes any sense. Like, and I mean, honestly, I have no problem. I would love to see Darren kind of chop and change the midfield a little bit. Like, sit Sokka for a game or two and see what Sarakowski, see what Zuko can do. You know, see what the midfield of Neil, Zhao, and Zuko can do and see if that provides you a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, why not at this point?
Yeah. I mean, and see what you got from there. I mean, I think, you know, I think we're trying to find solutions and try to see, like, if you can plug this hole, can you fix that? And how does this relate to that? But even if this team manages to get into the playoffs, which I'll be happy for, it still doesn't take away from the issues that need to be addressed on field.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're being realistic right now. Yeah, they could run off, like, you know, 8 out of the last 9 and find their way in. But I'll be happy to be wrong on that one, too, if that happens.
Yeah. I realized that we complain about certain things and then the opposite happens and then it's like the team just shoots off and it'd be great if that happens here, you know?
So,
yeah. North Carolina coming up. I believe they are still first in USL League One. If I'm not mistaken, I think they are a game or two. Yeah, I think they're 2 or so games away from clinching a playoff spot, I think.
It seems a little too soon for that, but
okay. I thought they were close, but they seem to be, you know, they seem to be clearing that. But do you think there's any way we could pull off an upset against North Carolina? We always, you know, as fans, we want to have that possibility. But
I mean, why not? When we played them down there, we were up 2-0 and, you know, had a meltdown, not terribly different than what just happened, you know, this weekend. You know, got a draw to them last time, you know, just on Wednesday. No reason to think that this team can't play with them. It's, you know, they're you know, more consistent, you know, and, you know, maybe a little more lethal at times. But yeah, you know, that's the frustrating thing about this team is they can hang with most other teams, you know, for most of the game.
Yeah. This is, I have a good feeling about this game, but like you said, like, they just, they got to be consistent. Like, but also, like, they can't fall into the trap of trying to speed this game up and then North Carolina just come out and cuts us in the midfield, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, what are some things you're looking, if Richmond is able to get a win in this game, what are some things, what are, like, 2 or 3 things you're looking for that has to happen in order for us to get away with that?
Would it win? Denying them quality, you know, service into the box. That's where, you know, both games McLaughlin had a very similar header that he scored. So on, you know, Wednesday, I guess technically ended up being an own goal, but, you know, goal came, you know, from there. Like, they're good at picking that, you know, kind of stuff out, and if we can find a way to slow that down or, you know, make them find a different way into goal, go for it.
Yeah. I would say so for me is shutting down access to Rafa. Like, Rafa always seems to come and find us in some weird moments. It's almost like Marky Hernandez. I think those are the 3 things that kills us. Rafa, Marky, and Chattanooga at home. but yeah, I think shutting down access to Rafa and securing the midfield, like, you can't allow North Carolina to chop us up in the midfield and just be hella direct with us. Like, you know, if it takes Zaka and Suko just sitting deep in front of the back four and kind of cleaning up mistakes and then getting the ball forward and going direct in, then do it. But I would love to see the team be able to get 3 points and go on from there.
Yeah. You know, we're going to make a run. It's got to start now. So let's go for it. And right. Yeah. And again, no matter how rough it, you know, it's going any given time, still better to be watching a game at City Stadium than to not be watching a game at City Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. And this team has done a little bit better at City Stadium than they have on the road. Not in the Heights, it was last year, but I'm still going to sit there and cheer on the boys, regardless of what everything happens, you know. Just, we got a 9-game season. See how many wins you can get from that and go from there. So, Matt, anything else from you, my man, before we wrap up?
No.
Me either, man. Listeners, as always, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show, because without you, we couldn't do this. And I know it's rough. I know it sucks. I know it's been 42 days since we had a happy pod, and it kind of seems like we're talking about the same things. But just like y'all, we're trying to figure out the answers and solutions to things that are going on the field. So just want to say thank y'all for sticking with us. Happy pods and happy games are coming shortly and soon. And who knows? Maybe we'll end the month up on a 3-game win streak. So with that being said, for Matt, Chenier, Kate, Gabe, and myself, we will holler at you guys next time. Be easy and be safe.